You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Remember, if you gamble, use your game sense. Stay within your limits. Go to gamesense.ab.ca. Here for them is goaltending. Is it too easy to say it's just being goaltending why the Blues are struggling so much?
Well, typically that would be the case. You know, I mean, it's just not just the goaltenders. I mean, when you're not playing great hockey in front of the goalies, then obviously the defensive errors, they get more exposed. And, you know, that area of the ice certainly needs to be cleaned up as well for the Blues. But, you know, the goaltending needs to be better. I mean, I think if you look at some of the other stats defensively, they don't give up a ton in terms of shots against, shot attempts, high danger chances. But, listen, the chances they do give up have been, better than grade A, if that's possible, right? So sometimes there's not much the goaltender can do there to bail you out. But there's also been a lot of bad luck, you know, some bad bounces. I mean, a lot of fluky goals against. I mean, go back to the first game of the season against Minnesota. We saw a couple in that game. And it just seems like every game. You go back to the Detroit game where things really started getting out of control for the Blues. It happened before that on the home game, a four-game homestand. But in Detroit, they had a 4-0 lead in the first period, only to lose the game. And you look at the second and third goal that scored by Detroit at the end of the second period. I mean, those were fluky goals. And so there's been a couple of those, you know, some bad bounces. But, again, defensively, they haven't been good enough. They know that. They feel like they're starting to trend in the right direction in an effort to get things going. They felt like they played one of the best periods of the season in the third period the other night. You know, before they traveled back home in Columbus. So we'll see what that means here tonight against a difficult team, obviously, in Edmonton.
So with Jim Montgomery being brought in last year to kind of settle things down, and I know you guys have some injuries with some key players, is there anything you feel like he maybe needs to do to maybe get a little bit more out of his team?
Well, listen, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, he's tried a lot of different things, guys, in terms of changing the line combinations and, you know, guys coming in the lineup, guys coming out of the lineup. You know, you lose your leading goal scorer and Jake Neighbors, who got off to an unbelievable start. I think he had 6 goals on 12 shots, something like that. And you lose him long term. I mean, they're saying reevaluated in 5 weeks, so you're not going to get him back anytime soon. You're going to get Robert Thomas back tonight, but he's missed the last week. So that's your number one center. I mean, you go back to the last game, Nick Bjugstad was your best forward probably in the game. And it's great for Nick, but it's probably not great for the Blues that he's your best forward in the game. And he played the most that he's played since coming over from Utah in the offseason. They signed him as a free agent. So, listen, I know he's tried a lot of different things. They've really stressed, obviously, how they want to defend and, you know, made some tweaks, I think, to protecting the middle of the ice, something that Jim Montgomery stresses night in and night out all the time, just in terms of how they defend in the middle of the ice where, you know, most of the goals come from in the NHL. I mean, that's where you score your goals, and that's an area where the Blues have really struggled defensively. It's been a big area of weakness. And I think, you know, at the other end, you know, just getting to the net front, you know, and getting to some of those rebounds and, you know, creating second and third chances. I mean, they've really struggled from that standpoint. They feel like they got better in Columbus in the third period there where they actually had chances, you know, off of rebounds and off of scrums in front. But sometimes that's just playing desperation hockey. That's effort. And Jim Montgomery's called out the effort on a couple of occasions this season already. That's not a great sign, but his demeanor, again, after the loss in Columbus the other night was completely different than how he had reacted to a couple of the losses prior to that. They're winless in 7. They feel like at some point in time when you continue to get chances and maybe you're missing the net by, you know, a half of an inch or you're hitting the post, those are going to eventually start to go in, and we'll see if that changes tonight.
When you look at Binnington and Hofer individually, Andy, and you know, everybody, you know, we saw what Binnington did last year. Like when their head coach came in now, Montgomery, the Blues were one of the best teams overall and one of the best teams defensively in his 60 games. And none of those numbers really match. So just from a goaltending perspective, what have you seen first with Binnington and then with Hofer in the areas they've struggled individually?
Well, with Hofer, he's gotten trouble. You know, you go back to the Chicago game that was on national TV down here in the States. I mean, he just got in trouble leaving his crease and playing the puck and turning pucks over. You know, I mean, he never recovered. If you go back and watch the first goal against Chicago, one of the first games of the season, and he turned the puck over below the goal line, and it was an easy empty cage for whoever scored it for Chicago. And he never recovered in that game, and that game really set him back. His next start against Utah, I think he got scored on the first shot of that game. And didn't end up finishing that game. Didn't finish the game against Chicago either. Then his next start in Pittsburgh gives up the first two shots of the game. And nothing he could really do on the first one, or the second one, I should say, but the first one, a great shot by Rust, but still it's one that he would typically save. And I talked to, you know, Hofer specifically about this, just in terms of not to get into too much of goaltending speak, but he says, you know, when his feet are set, then he's going to make the save 99 out of 100 times. When he's not set, then he's not going to make the save. And so he felt like fundamentally there were some issues, more so than the mental side of it.
Okay.
It was more fundamental, and he could correct that. And, you know, it looks like maybe he has, because he played a pretty good game the other night in Columbus. You know, for Binnington, listen, we talk about the bad bounces and the bad puck luck. We're seeing a lot of fluky goals scored on him. And, listen, we've seen Binnington play at the highest level where he's been unbelievable. And, you know, you know that he has it in him to get back to that level, but he hasn't been that guy. And when you have the defensive issues that they're going through right now, the inability to defend net front, and some of the breakdowns that are leading to some of the high-end quality chances against, that's where you need Binnington to come through and make maybe the saves that you don't expect him to make, which he's made in the past. And those haven't been there for him so far this season. He's had a couple of games where he's been unbelievable. The win at home against Dallas, he was incredible. The win on the road at Vancouver, he was really, really good. They need more of that from Jordan Binnington, and he's got to be their best player tonight against Edmonton.
Yeah. You look at the Blues now. Robert Thomas comes back. Before he went out, now Robert Thomas led the NHL in scoring after Four Nations last year, and I think there's a lot of people expecting he was going to carry that over into this season, and kind of got off to a slow start. He had no goals, 3 assists, 5-on-5 in his first 8 games. What was the injury he was out with, Andy, and are you expecting him to jump right back in, or is this an injury that might take him a few games to get back up to speed?
Well, he should be able to jump in. You never know. It was an upper body injury. It took an elbow up high, so you can, you know, use 2 and 2 and come up with 4 and figure out what that was, but that it's an injury he had never dealt with in the past, so he's missed the last week. So you'd expect him to be able to come back and be okay. I guess you just never know how his body's going to react. But he skated yesterday and felt like he was fine. Skated this morning, felt like he was fine. So you'll see him back up there, you know, centering the top line, being on the first power play, all of that that you would typically see. You mentioned the lack of production in the first handful of games, Jason. I mean, this guy, I mean, his passing ability, as we know, is elite. And you're right. The last 26 games or whatever it was down the stretch last season, he led the league in scoring.
Yeah.
Which is a big chunk, right? It's not just a small chunk of games. I mean, this guy was strong on the radar for Hockey Canada coming into the season as a guy who could potentially make that roster. It's going to be difficult now with the start that he's had. But, you know, he was invited to the orientation camp. I mean, he was, you know, Doug Armstrong obviously is the GM of Canada and the St. Louis Blues. So, there's a strong connection there. And I know John Cooper has a lot of respect for his game too, but I can't tell you how many grade A passes that he made that was right on the tee for somebody to score and they just couldn't finish. But sometimes when you're a passer and you're not producing and you're not putting up points, then I think you can look at it and say, is he not playing well or is he setting guys up and they're not finishing? I think this was more of the latter. He should have way more points than he has right now. And I can come up with 5 or 6 in my head immediately where guys should have finished, and they typically would have in the past, and they didn't. And Pavel Buchnevich is one of those guys. This guy's had 3 or 4 grade-A chances where, I mean, I'm talking wide-open nets that he would typically finish in the past, and the puck, for whatever reason, is just exploding off of his blade, and he's not handling it clean, and therefore he's just not either getting the shot off or even able to direct it into the net, into a wide open net. You know, the puck just completely explodes into pieces, like I said. So, you know, we've seen Thomas play at a much higher level than what he's played so far this season. But at the same time, if a couple of those would have gone in, that would have given him a little more confidence, a little more juice, a little more jump. And there's nothing he can do about that.
Andy, St. Louis isn't the only team to maybe not be playing at their best. And they're also not the only team to be dealing with injuries to some key players. Where do you feel Doug Armstrong is as far as maybe making a move?
Well, I think, listen, they made a minor league move today, and it looks like a nothing move by trading for Callie Rosen, who has some experience and some history playing here in St. Louis, and I think he's played close to 100 games in the NHL, and over 70 of those are with St. Louis. So, I mean, and he's been on good teams here in the past, and he's played well. So you just wonder what that means for the future of Logan Mailloux here in the short term, who's kind of been in and out of the lineup. He's trying to find his way. He's not playing today. Of course, he was traded for Zachary Bolduc in the offseason. Bolduc got off to a hot start. He's kind of slowed down now in Montreal, but certainly got the attention of the fan base, you know, because you traded a guy who scored, 19 goals last season. And I think all of them are somewhere in that range. And all of those goals were scored after Jim Montgomery got here. So he thrived under Montgomery and didn't score in the playoffs, but they have a ton of wingers. And guys who are coming, who they drafted Justin Carboneau in the first round this past June. He's shredding the Quebec League once again this season. This guy's going to play probably as soon as next year. And they've got, had to create some space. And listen, it's hard to find right shot defensemen who, have size, who can skate and, handle the puck and move the puck and do everything that you want to have elite defensemen do nowadays. So they made the deal. And you just wonder now with the Rosen acquisition, is he the replacement in the short term if they need to send Mailloux down? If they want to send him down and have him go down there and play, then now you have a veteran guy who you can bring up here and, if you need to, plug somebody else in and to play. So, but listen, absolutely. I mean, if they're not going to show any signs of improvement here and the season completely falls off the track and there's just no way they can catch up and get back into it. This is a team that's chased it in the past and done very well doing so, as recent as last season. Their record last year after the Four Nations was incredible. No one thought they had any chance of coming back. I think they were 8 or 9 points, something like that, out of the playoffs, coming out of the Four Nations last year, and they somehow found a way to get back in. And you go back to 2019, obviously, when they won the Stanley Cup. I mean, everyone knows that they were out of the playoffs or in last in the Western Conference in January of that year. So, and they've shown that ability and that resolve in the past, but you just can't make a habit of doing that and expect the same result to happen. I mean, it's just too hard to do in the NHL. And I look at it right now, guys, and I include Edmonton in this group. I mean, I've got 6 or 7 locks to make the playoffs. And that doesn't include Anaheim. I've got Utah in there right now. You know, in addition to the Edmontons and the Vegases and the Winnipegs and the Dallases and the Colorados, I mean, you're competing now with the Anaheim Ducks, yep, with Seattle, for that last final spot to get in. So we all know it's not going to be easy. You don't want to dig yourself too big of a hole. The question is, have the Blues done that already, and how quickly can they get out of it? And if they don't get out of it, then obviously it sets the table for Doug Armstrong to make some moves that maybe people didn't see coming.
Yeah, it'd be interesting because they don't really have any big-name UFA guys do right away, right? You got, Torpchenko and Sundqvist and, Matthew Joseph, more depth guys. Lots of their guys are signed for multiple years, up top, kind of at the top of the roster, really, for them. Maybe Justin Falk would be the one guy who's got 2 years left on his deal. Armstrong has – because it's not just Doug Armstrong. You're going to the transition period, right? You're going to have a new GM next season for the Blues. How do you think that plays into this whole process here?
Well, they work alongside one another. And I think when you have a new guy taking over who's already working inside the organization, not to say that Steen has to sign off on any moves, but I do think it's important that you're working together and that you're in unison, because you want to make sure that whatever moves you make are moves that Steen is given the thumbs up on, because these are moves that he believes are going to help the team moving forward. I don't think you can just make some moves that he absolutely does not want to make, or you know what I'm saying with that. I mean, it's just like, if this guy's going to take over, you're not going to want to move a piece that he feels like is a big part of his future, whether that player is here or not. So I think, the chemistry that those two have is important between Armstrong and Steen, and they have worked together for a couple of years now in management, and obviously their working history goes way back, with Steen being a longtime player here under Doug Armstrong. So that communication will certainly be there. So to answer your question, it's important. It's very important. And, with him taking over, any moves that are going to be made that are going to affect this organization moving forward beyond this season and even beyond next season, I would think Alexander Steen would certainly be heavily involved in those decisions.
One last one for you. There was a big deal in the offseason between the Blues and the Canadiens, two young guys. How's Logan? I know he's not going to play tonight and he's been sitting out. How's Logan Mailloux looked?
He's looked like a player who hasn't played a whole lot in the NHL, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
You know, when you get off to a slow start and you're on a new team, new organization, and you're young, and I think he came into the season having played 8 career games in the NHL, that's tough to really kind of rediscover your game. And it's been tough sledding for him. I thought a couple of games ago he had his best game where he was noticeable. He was jumping up into the play. He was aggressive in the offensive end, but you know he took 2 penalties in the first period of the game, which you can't do. And so then he didn't dress in the next game. And listen, it's all confidence with him. This guy just needs to play. And they are fully committed and invested in his future, and they believe that he's going to be a really good player for a long time. They didn't make this move, in their view, without having a firm feel for what they were getting in return. And they talked to a lot of people. They've watched him play for several years. He was obviously a high draft pick, would have gone even higher if he didn't have the off-ice issues. So whenever a player is drafted that, you've already done your homework. You know who that player is. You know their history. You know their background. And you've watched them play for a long time. They've got a lot of connections, obviously, in London, here in St. Louis. So, again, I don't think it's a major surprise to see a young defenseman struggle. And they haven't lost confidence in his ability to play. But he does need to play. So yeah. You just wonder if that point will come where he goes down to the American Hockey League and gets some more games in. But, again, just from a confidence standpoint, when you get off on the wrong foot and the team's not winning, that can be a difficult situation to be in. Listen, they like their top 4. They've got some experienced players, and I'm including Philip Roberg in there too, who hasn't played a ton,
right,
you know, over the course of his career, but he plays like a guy who's been around much longer than he has been. And I think he's been the most consistent defenseman they have up to this point. He's been fantastic. It's interesting because Holloway's struggling. Holloway was so good last year, and he just hasn't produced at the level that you would expect, but he's coming off an injury and whatnot. But, you know, the third pair is a little inexperienced here in St. Louis with Tucker, and they had Mailloux. And it got to a point where they weren't even getting those two guys on the ice together. They would put one guy with a veteran and, you know, kind of split up the pairs for a couple of shifts there just in an effort to get these guys on the ice. But they weren't putting them on the ice together. They were trying to get them on the ice with another veteran from the top 4. So knowing who was going out with who and who was playing with who, it just disrupted their overall chemistry. And that showed when you watch them play. They look like a team that didn't have a ton of chemistry. So Mailloux, it hasn't gone according to plan up to this point. But again, we got a long way to judge not only the trade, but certainly what kind of NHL defenseman he's going to be.
Andy, as always, buddy, great stuff. Enjoy the game tonight, and we'll talk to you again soon. Appreciate your time.
Anytime, fellas. You guys have a great day.
You betcha. There's